Welcome to Session 2 of Positive Parenting with Barbara Smiley. Tonight, Barbara will be discussing what is a child. Now, let's join Barbara.
Welcome to Positive Parenting. For those of you that are new, my name is Barbara Smiley. I have spent many years studying and teaching and talking about what it takes to raise healthy, happy children and healthy, happy parents. So I welcome you here. Thank you for caring enough about your children to put yourself in a situation where you're ready to learn, where you're ready to question how it is that we parent. I think that through the ages, the thing that's always impressed me the most about parenting is that everybody's always discovering. They're always looking back and saying, did that work, did that not work, and what works today? So that's what we're here to work on. Last time we were together, the emphasis was on parenting and what is your particular gift as a parent. And what we concluded was that the most important thing that we have to give our children is our ability to teach them. And that the question that we have to continue asking ourselves is, what do we want to teach our children? And I asked some of you to make a list of 10 things that were the most important thing for you to teach your children so that you would know how to guide your behavior and your disciplinary system to include those 10 things. What did you come up with? What are the 10 most important things that you want to teach your children?
Honesty.
Love.
Love.
Okay.
Humor.
Good humor or bad?
All of it.
Humor.
Playfulness.
Playfulness. Okay. Your kids are what? 8 to 10? Yeah. That's priority when you're 8 to 10.
Spirituality.
All right.
Kindness. And compassion for the world.
Generosity.
And gratitude.
Anything else?
How do you enjoy what you have?
Appreciation.
Appreciation.
Friendship.
Perseverance.
Yeah. Sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Justice. And the life is not fair.
No.
And loyalty. Be the best you can be.
Prosperity.
How many of you compared these to what your spouse would want to teach?
Who?
Would they match? No, probably not. Probably not. As a parent, as a mother, you're a mother, and you have certain things to teach. As a father, the father has certain things to teach. If you're a single family, then you get to teach it all, right? So that's why we started with only 10 things. So out of all of these things, which is the most important? Justice, honesty, love, respect, self-esteem, integrity, humor, playfulness, sharing, peacefulness, perseverance, responsibility, loyalty, best you can be, trusting God, good hygiene, spirituality, kindness, compassion, exploration, generosity, gratitude, appreciation, friendship, life isn't fair, prosperity. Which one do you have in order to even teach?
Love.
Right. So how do you teach that?
By loving them. By giving.
By being an example. So how do you be an example of love? Just think about your own children. How do you be an example of love?
Love your own spouse.
Love your spouse?
Love yourself.
Love yourself. Hug them. Affection. So being a demonstration is the bottom line, right? So what we're going to talk about tonight is how this is interpreted as a child. How do children receive love? When you have to discipline, when you have to set limits, when you have to change behaviors, how do you do that and maintain this? Because without this, they're not going to get any of the rest, true?
Right.
If they don't feel loved, they're not going to be open to having an experience of honesty or justice or trusting God, and they don't care about good hygiene. If you don't feel loved, the last thing you care about is how you smell, you know? You just don't care that you have to start using deodorant at 10 years old. You don't care, you know? So what we're going to talk about tonight is how this is interpreted. So who are children? Who are they? No matter what age, who are children?
Their own persona.
Their own people. Influenced by us all. Okay, so when most people look at Jonathan here, Jonathan's pretty little. When most people look at Jonathan, what do they think? He's little. He's helpless. He doesn't understand. He can't verbalize. He has to have everything done for him. So how we interact with Jonathan at this age is as that, yes? So how does Jonathan receive love at this age?
Open hugs.
Hugging, touching, nursing, cooing, cawing. Hello, you're so cute, you're wonderful. Yes, but then when they grow up, what do we do? As parents, I mean, think about your own children. As parents, what do? As they're growing up,
teach them more.
Teach them to be independent.
Well, you don't touch them with your dad anymore.
You don't? You don't?
I do.
Do you have a baby? Do you have a baby? We get it in our head that this child is this age, a particular age that we particularly enjoyed. For mine, he's still 6 to 9 months. When I think of my 4-year-old, in my mind's eye, he is 6 to 9 months. And when I'm kind of like out of whack because life is just too fast for me today, when I talk to him, I talk to him as a 6 to 9 month old. Now, darling, you know that you have to do this, this, this. I know, Mommy. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You do know that your socks go in the dirty clothes. You know that. That's right. You know that. Or I find myself walking around doing it because this poor child can't do it. What does this teach a child? Confusion. Now, how come today I had to do this, and tomorrow I don't have to do this, and how does this whole thing work? How does this mother of mine work? When we think of our children, we think of them in a particular situation. How old are they in your mind's eye? Sam was a newborn, yes, because that's when he needed you the most. And so a part of you, whenever you interacts with him as a 6-month-old. The older he gets, the more frustrating that's going to be for him. Mm-hmm. You've heard your kids, some of you who have older kids, 8, 9, 10, teenagers. I'm not a baby. Stop treating me like a baby. And you're like, I'm not treating you like a baby. Yeah, you are treating him like a baby. I know how to put my shoes on, Mommy. I'm like, all right, you know how to put your shoes on. That's right, you do.
In my house, the new thing is that the oldest called Freeman Little Freeman.
Little Freeman.
Come here, little Freeman. He goes, I'm not little.
Right.
I'm big now.
That's right.
He's like, well, I'm not a baby. I'm a boy.
Because in your mind's eye, you haven't reevaluated how old he is. And this is one of the problems with being a parent, is that we don't stop where we are today and say, okay, who is this child? What are my expectations of this child? How do I have to change my behavior with this child to treat him age appropriate? The thing we don't do as parents is treat children age appropriate.
What is age appropriate? Different times of the day. Like at night, my daughter's 4 years old. I'd like to take her in that same rocking chair that I did when she was born and hold her sometimes and rock her.
That's fine.
That's not age appropriate, but that's...
Yes, it is. Yes, it is age appropriate.
Is it?
Well, yes, yes.
But that's not really what you're saying, because that's not what you do with a 4-year-old, is it?
Yes, it's what I do with my 4-year-old.
Oh, okay. All right.
I never say no to snuggle. Never. Because if I do, what am I teaching?
You're not teaching.
I'm not teaching. I'm teaching that, okay, no, this is the way a 4-year-old loves. And that's not, love is not something you can really teach. Love is not something that is age appropriate. You know, if love at this moment to a child that's this age is hugging and snuggling and kissing, and I mean, that's age appropriate. For a 4-year-old, they don't let you touch you all day, and at night they want to be snuggled. That's age appropriate. Now, when they get to be 8, they're not going to even give you the time of day. And they might let you rub their back. That's age appropriate. And then they're going to come to you one day and say, Mommy, I want to snuggle. And you'll think to yourself, well, that's not age appropriate. There's no way that love can be age appropriate. Because love changes every day in a child. You think about your children. How many of you have children that go to school? Your children are going to school. What does that mean? Your children are going to school. So they leave your house. And then what happens? They have 30 kids on a school bus, all in a different mood. They go to one class, they have a different teacher, and they have 30 more children in a different mood. And then they go to another class, and they have 30 more children and a different teacher, all in a different mood. By the end of the day, how are your children? How would you be if you had to change every 45 minutes? You had to change like that every 45 minutes and deal with totally different personalities. How would you be at the end of the day? And then they come home, and what do we want from them? How was your day, dear? What did you do today, dear? What did you learn at school today, dear? And they're like, leave me alone. I just want to play. I don't want to do my homework. I just want to play. So one of the things we have to do as parents is that we have to continually update how old our children are in our mind. And all that takes is to stop and evaluate. A lot of parents that I've met had a behavior problem at 4 that at 6 years old they're still treating as a behavior problem, even though it's not a behavior problem anymore. But they believe that if they stop treating that behavior problem, that the behavior is going to return. This just means that they haven't stopped to update.
When did you update, like every 6 months?
It depends on how quickly your child grows. You should be updating right now. You know, he's not this thing. You don't have to be delicate with him now. You don't have to do a lot of the things that you used to have to do with him. You don't have to really worry about his health particularly. You don't have to worry about his breathing anymore. You know, he's past all of those critical states, and now's the time for him to play. And now you introduce toys, and you introduce different things. And then at 6 months, you'll have a totally different child that can all of a sudden move, that you have to say, oh my goodness, he knows how to roll off the bed. We do that with children up to 2, but after 2, we really don't do that.
Baby forces it. I mean, as the baby goes through the stages, and I have a 1-year-old that now walks.
Right.
I mean, that's it, your whole life changes.
Right. Things that weren't important yesterday are now priorities. So a child is a person in a small body. That's what a child is. Has feelings. What else does it have?
Everything
we have. Everything we have. The problem is in the interpretation. How do they interpret it? How do they interpret it? The great thing about kids is that they're extremely forgiving. You notice your kids that when you get angry with them, like for an hour, you're still angry. If it was really bad, you're still angry, and they're walking around like nothing happened. Well, what are you so upset about? You know, that's like already happened. It's done. It's over. It's been handled. What are you still upset about? Children are extremely forgiving. So the thing we as parents have to do is what?
Get off it.
If we expect to teach peacefulness, what do we have to do? Forget it also. Now, if it's a reoccurring problem, what do we have to do?
Is that correct?
Correct the behavior.
How do we correct the behavior?
It depends on what the situation is. Do you have a particular situation?
My son's 6.
Right.
He deters him from sitting in circles.
Mm-hmm.
He distracts him. I'm not saying that my son's an angel, but I found he was on timeout, the two of them, a few times. And I think that is not necessary, you know. And I tried to talk to him. I spoke to him tonight about it. Please don't do that, you know. And
the more it bothers you.
Yeah, it just upsets me because I don't want him to set. Time is valuable. I don't want to take away from him learning.
Right, but how does he learn? How does he learn respect? How does he learn exploration? How does he learn any of those things without doing it?
Well, he's done it a few times, so that's enough.
Right. That's enough? You determine so.
I think he could learn more. He could benefit more if he were to listen to the teacher and learn through exploration and instead of learning from this little boy.
Yeah, but you're talking about a social situation. And so what do you want to teach him socially? That's going to, if you looked at him 10 years down the road, if he was doing this 10 years down the road, doing what the other kid was doing, you'd be in trouble, yes?
Yeah.
So what do you want to teach him right now about socialization?
Place.
You want to teach him to be his own person.
Yeah.
You want to teach him to not submit to peer pressure. So those are the conversations you have. People are going to do a lot of things that you don't want to do.
Right.
A lot of things that you don't want to do.
I can't show
and you need to determine, no, I'm talking to him right now, and he needs to determine which ones he wants to do and which ones he doesn't and take the consequences if he does.
Okay.
But he needs to be clear that it's his decision. And you need to be clear that it's his decision. He's already been punished in school or disciplined. He's already been disciplined in school. So all you can do is use it as an opportunity to talk to him about peer pressure, which is going to be useful his whole life, instead of about how important it is to be in school. Because maybe right now it's not to have a friend for him. But if he would get in trouble for a friend, you've got a potential problem down the road, see? So you talk about that rather than the timeout. Because he's already been disciplined for the timeout. But you don't want him to be a follower when he gets into high school. You want him to be able to say, nope, don't want to do that. Don't think so. Let me call my mom and find out. Mom, can I smoke a joint? No, I don't think that's a good idea, son. All right, Mom. See, and you also want him to be able to trust you. Come home and say, Mom, this was the situation. This is what happened today. Thank you for telling me the truth. Instead of coming home and saying, Mom, I got a time out. And then you punishing him. or you disciplining him. So if we can remember that children are just little people who evolve and change in an extremely quick manner, like on a day-to-day basis, at some point when they have their growth spurts, they change. You've watched your kids? One day they go to sleep and they're a 2-year-old, and then they wake up and they're 6. This is particularly prevalent with teenagers, and we're doing a whole session on teenagers. One minute they're this age, the next one minute they're 23, and then the next minute they're 14. Particularly prevalent. So it's important that we remind ourselves as parents that our children are growing.